Good day, gents. Chaz, how you doing, man?
Well, good. How are you?
Yeah, mate, I'm fine. I'm well, thank you. Good to see you, man.
Good. You too.
Richard's in. Rob's getting some steps in. How you doing, Richard? You good, brother? Good to see you, man. Robert, how you doing, brother? You at the gym?
Yeah, I'm up at the gym. Just get my zone two in. I'll keep myself muted most of the time. I don't want to be that guy talking around the gym.
You're all good, man. You're all good. Good to see you at it, brother. It'll be an interesting one today. Obviously, talking about fat loss and stuff while you're getting your cardio in, so that this should be good. Me see who else is in. There's someone on an iPhone, so maybe drive in. So, yeah, if you are driving, just keep the sound up. Don't worry about concentrating on the phone. We'll be all good. We'll just give maybe a couple more minutes. See, Paul's coming in. Chaz, give us an update, man. What's winning for you this week or this last 7 days?
Just doing my plan.
What's the plan currently, man? What's the setup for you?
I do weight training 5 days and cardio 2 days.
Nice, man. What type of split have you got in terms of the weight training? Is it like a push-pull style through the week?
Yeah, I have a push pull during the week, alternating, and then I do cardio again twice during that week at each end of the, I guess, like the cycle, I guess.
Good, man. How's the recovery going? Feeling like you're recovering from that type of volume and split?
Well, I guess I'm used to it. I work out early in the morning, like a lot of people do, and sometimes I have issues with sleep. And I've been dealing with that for a while, and but Coach Greg and the others have given me advice, and I try to implement that. But still have issues with sleep at times, and that can affect my recovery, I know.
Yeah, it's been that's obviously going to be a big part of that. If you can get that sleep nailed down, you'll feel like a different person, you know. So just keep working with
Yeah,
Greg.
really.
He's a genius.
Yep.
Greg's a genius, man. If you're struggling with the type of information that's or the plan so far to get into certain things, we condense it down so we can find solutions for it, right? And just start where we need to, and then build momentum on top of that, you know.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for sharing, man. Great to see you. Paul, how you doing, bro?
Perfect. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. Kent is in as well. Kent, nice to see you, man.
Yeah. Hey, chaps, how you doing?
Good, good.
Good stuff.
So, let me. Yeah, I think we're good to go. We've got a few in the house. I'll see if anybody else pops into the room as well as we go. But so tonight's talk, I've seen in the group. In the WhatsApp group, you've seen this. We're going to be talking about fat loss and accelerated fat loss without the risk of losing muscle mass. So it's obviously piqued some of your interest today, maybe if you're definitely on this call. Although we got Jeff coming in as well, and it is normally the holy grail when people say I want to lose as much body fat as possible and can I put muscle on or keep all my muscle that I've gained or can I keep muscle when I lose fat as well? And the answer is yes, you can. But there are certain things that we need to have in place and potentially might surprise a lot of people where you actually might have to eat more to lose more body fat, which sounds crazy. And I'm not talking about food volume and very low calorie. I'm talking about more calories as well. But there's a flip of the coin to that as well. So I'm going to cover that on today's talk. I've got a little bit of a presentation as well, just to keep us on track because I can tend to go off on tangents sometimes when I get d dug into something. I'll just start going in a different direction sometimes because I get excited on it. But we'll keep as close to the topics as possible. But how many of you are on a fat loss stage in the process right now? Just raise your hand. I know some of you are muted. So, okay, Kent, Rob, yep, Chaz, you're building some muscle at the minute, yeah?
Trying, yeah. I just got off
Good.
of fat loss and just trying to do some building right now.
Yeah. The type of split would for sure tell me that for sure. So that's good. And obviously you'll fall into this category as well as we start to piece it through, because you can get body comp results with this as well. I think, Rob, you came up as one of our speaking points on one of our calls yesterday. So I was chatting to the boys about where you at with your clients, who's going to be up for like client of the month or something like that coming up this next maybe couple of months. And we definitely highlighted you as one of those, Rob. So we've got some strategies. Andrew's got some strategies, tools in the toolbox, let's say. Plan A's, plan B's. We've got some things to pull for you. But some of this might spark into what Andrew might be having planned up for you as well, okay? We've just got a couple more just come in as well. So we've got Bears in. Good to see you. Good to have you on the call, Bear. And Jeff as
Yeah,
well.
thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Okay, so let me just pull up this presentation and get onto present mode. Then I shall share my screen. So, gents, what I would love, because I've got my presentation on, if you do have any questions, just feel free to unmute yourself and fire away as I'm doing it. It won't offend me, or it won't sidetrack me. Just do that because I won't be able to see the messages come through on the chat. What I might have to do then is just come out of the presentation a little bit as well, because I've got some more guys coming into the talk as well. Let me present share screen. So are we all good to see this? It should be good. So the talk today, I know it's obviously accelerated fat loss and holding on to mass and so on, but I like using nutritional periodization for that, because there are going to be parts of your program where you are going to have to periodize certain things. And we're also going to talk about high energy flux. So this is where, Rob, that might pique your interest as we start to go through this type of talk as well. So energy flux is something we'll talk about today. And it's not for everybody, because a lot of people might not be able to actually do that type of high energy flux as well. So this is where it becomes very unique, and that's why we look at your intake forms and we start off with kickoff calls with you to see exactly what you can and can't do from day one, and obviously build the process from there. But as we start to piece together now, just looking at what actual nutritional periodization is, obviously we're manipulating the diet over different time periods of your training process. So that's why I asked who's on a fat loss protocol right now. So quite a few of you are, whereas Chaz is on more of a muscle building focused plan right now as well, you know? So that is going to have a totally different nutritional component to that, especially when you've come in and you've got fat loss as the main goal, your diet and your activity might look a certain way. And all of a sudden now you're going into a muscle building phase. You've lost the body fat. You're more insulin sensitive. You're more metabolically flexible. Now your body can do different things with different amounts of calories, macronutrients, and training performance as well. So periodizing these things in over time durations, it's going to have a real big play in how you move going forward, you know? So what we also have to consider also on the periodization chart here is people tend to stay stuck in a fat loss mind frame because they've lost the body fat they've so hard to that's been so hard for them to lose over time. It's like, I don't want to put any more body fat back on. So they're always in this place that I want to put muscle on, but they don't want to stay out of though. They don't want to push those calories a little bit further, you know? So it's having that periodized in and using strategies along the way on when, if you're in a fat loss phase, for example, when your mind fatigues and so on, which will prevent progress, which we'll dig into that in a second. But you might need diet breaks. You might need mini cuts when you're on a surplus to go put muscle on. So periodizing those things in strategically will allow the process to continue on without too much of a hindrance and suffering through the process for a lot of people, you know. Let me just let's see what else. A few of you got the cameras closed. That's all good. Just make sure I'm seeing everybody. So when we look at the fat loss phase in periodization, typically, so you'll probably notice this from some of the coaches you've worked with so far, we'll try and set a minimum, and I'm talking minimum at 0.5% fat loss per week. So it has to be very structured. And obviously, the way we do that, we're going to start to look at activity, calories, and we start to map the process from there. Normally, the first process or the first plan that we set out may not be perfect, but it's how you start to adjust and adhere to that plan. And then we can make the adjustments way faster to make sure we're hitting the targets we need on that percentage per week. Now, I always aim for this 1% per week straight out the gate as soon as I can. So I like to go a little bit more on the faster side initially. One, you see, obviously, motivation goes up straight away, which if you're in for fat loss and you see that happen straight out the gate, you're ready and you're dialed in. And obviously, the quicker we do it, the faster you're out of fat loss, and the quicker we can get onto the fun stuff with which Chaz is doing right now. That sometimes can be tough, but it's very rewarding as well when you start to build your frame too. But having that 1% per week is a great start if you can get there in the first 2, 3, 4 weeks for sure. But we need to make sure that we're, from experience, hitting 2.2 grams per kilo minimum. Now, the more body fat you have to lose, you could go under that a little bit more. But typically, when you are hitting deficits, you want to keep that protein as high as possible for muscle mass and obviously satiety. And the duration typically now is going to depend on how much fat you've got to drop and what you can sustain over that period as well. So, how long can you actually go in a fat loss phase? So this is why I'm talking, this is why I said earlier on about like those diet breaks. So having structured and planned diet breaks will allow you to stay longer in a deficit psychologically, but the downside is it is going to actually extend the period of fat loss out, unfortunately, because as soon as you go to a diet break, you're at maintenance calories, so you're not going to lose much more body fat at that point. You should be maintaining for sure, but when you look at the diet break research studies, the real good ones show that it's not so much that your hormones come back in check, because diet breaks typically you're only there for like a week to 2 weeks. For hormones to start kicking back into check, it's going to take a good 3 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit more for some people, for that to settle back in. So what you tend to see is those shorter diet breaks just allow that psychological impact of I'm on a diet for a long time type of thing. It just sets you, calms you down a little bit, and then bang, you've got the mindset to go in again with more motivation. There can be a few slight hormonal changes in terms of leptin might creep up a little bit more, but in terms of the other ones, like it takes a little bit longer to do that. But the target over that time frame, depending on again how much you have to lose, a good 10% body fat max before you take a diet break might be a great place to start. So that's what we would look at in terms of periodizing it. 10% comes off. Let's give you a little bit of a diet break. Let's hit that target as quick as we can. Diet break, boom. And then we assess, do we have more to lose? Or are we going into a performance phase, hypertrophy, or whatever it's going to be, right? I'm just going to stop here before I move to the next one and see if you boys have any questions around any of that. You all good? You guys see me okay? Am I coming through all right? Yeah. Cool. So I'm trying to keep it basic, as basic level as we can. So I also want to cover quite a bit on this presentation today. But going into fat, there's obviously more detail to the fat loss phases, but just starting in that at that mind frame of like, I want to lose 1% per week. So if you've got 10% body fat to lose, 10 weeks, you're in and out if you can hit that. Right. So just going with that mind frame of like, what can I do to accelerate that even more? And we're going to cover that in a second with some of the strategies that I go into now. So once we do hit those maintenance and diet breaks, maintenance phases, it will recalibrate you after dieting for sure. It can normalize the hormones, like I did say, but it does take around this amount of time frame. But if you're doing shorter ones as well, it will reduce that diet fatigue to allow you to move on a little bit more if you've got more fat to lose. Okay. So planning those in, just to reiterate that. Oh, so the main thing I wanted to come in here today and just highlight to you, and you'll notice quite a few of our coaches really push this, and Ben is a big proponent of this as well. It's not to say everybody can achieve this all the time. So it's high energy flux. So energy flux is basically where you've got a higher amount of calories to push to activity. So the main thing here to think is activity. Activity is going to drive the calorie intake. So if you're somebody that comes in and you can only do 6,000 steps a day, you can only do two weight training sessions a week, you may get a cardio session in. You're going to have to do calories as the main thing, right? You got to reduce those calories down, and nutrition is going to be a big struggle as you move through your fat loss phase, because if you're stuck at that amount of activity and you've only got calories to play with, yes, you can take certain supplements, you can take things to help potentially offset the hunger and the brain activity around nutrition. Now, obviously, you've seen peptides and GLP-1 agonists and so on, which can for sure help. And in that case, that might do that. There are side effects that you might have to consider talking with someone like Greg or one of your doctors and stuff like that to make sure that's the right thing for the tool to use for you. But what we like to really push, if we can, is a high amount of activity first. And we've seen in the research a lot, high flux will always beat low flux for fat loss. And we're talking even at the same calorie deficits. So if, for example, which I'll go into the next slide, calorie deficit amounts is the same, you'll see a much higher fat loss production from the higher calorie intake than the lower, but you also preserve way more muscle mass on the higher intake as well. So it goes to show that if you do want to drop a lot of body fat and keep muscle mass, having that high activity with high calorie intake just allows things to really cruise along, right? And one of the guys on anybody on this call, follow Coach Steve. I know Vamshi's on the call. I've seen him on the list. So Vamshi's being coached by Steve. Chaz, you follow Steve as well.
Yeah.
You'll notice this guy's like, he gets in, he works hard, right? He definitely works hard, but he hits about 10 to 15,000 steps a day. He does cardio. He actually comes on our team calls quite a lot of the time now, and he's just walking on the treadmill, like you are right now, Chaz, you know. So
Yep.
finding ways to get that, like hit two birds with one stone, you know. So if I need to do zone two work where I need my heart rate to stay, I don't know, between 125 and 140, I can maintain that nasal breathing, no problem. I'm studying, I'm watching lectures on my laptop, I'm trying to double up on a few things there. I'm doing voice messages to clients because I can still do that whilst I'm doing the zone two, you know. So I'm trying to make sure I'm getting my activity as high as possible. So this is a great way that you can really keep fat loss in a much easier place, because nutrition then isn't like that, I'm so hungry, I've got to eat. Like, you've got the calories to play with. You're preserving lean muscle tissue, and your fat loss is going to excel even more than a lower flux state. Plus, because of the activity, you're improving metabolic flexibility at a much faster rate, way faster. Okay. So when we looked at 2,500 in at 2,800 out compared to the same deficit at lower calories, the higher turnover improved fat loss efficiency way more. So that turnover rate of energy inside the body just upregulated fat loss. There was way less hunger, way more energy, way more sustainable. And now it's about how much you burn and how much you eat. So for performance-wise, what do you think your training sessions are going to look like on way higher calories? Through the roof, right? But I'm going to talk about some caveats too, which we'll cover in a sec. But the best way to start this, let's say you come in at a calorie base. We look at your activity. The first thing I would look to do is raise activity from steps, lifting, and cardio straight away. So that will create that 1% fat loss straight away. Does that make sense? So I'm looking to increase that from activity. So if out of all of those three, steps will be the easiest one to hit because it's way easier to recover from. And you can burn a shit ton of calories. Just and again, you shouldn't just be doing steps for calories. I understand that. It improves digestion, mentality, like everything around that will do that, but you will be burning calories when you do it. And you can in recovery just so much easier than doing HIIT training or weight training. Recovery is not even a problem to think of, right? So just starting there, then layering in these things. So the thing you've got to do with lifting, I'm just going to un-share my screen one sec. Thing we have to consider, Keith's in the house. He just came in. Yes, my man. Good to see you, bro. Good to, the thing with lifting is people are obviously on different spectrums of level of experience, right? So, excuse me, this is where we have to consider. I'll use Steve as an example. All of the guys that have followed Steve, how hard can he take a set and how close to failure can he take that set every time he wants to? Easy. Like he knows how to lock that in and he'll take it to work. His expenditure from a set will be higher than most people. So his calorie output at that point is way higher because his muscular contraction's on point. He's able to stabilize internally for a lot of things. He can produce a lot of load on the bar relative to, because his strength is huge. Like he's a very strong man. So his level of calorie output per repetition is way higher than probably mine, right? Plus he's way taller than me. He's like, I know he's dieted down now. He's just under 200 pounds, but man, when he's 220, shit, like he's going to be burning some serious calories, you know? So, and he is going to be putting some more muscle mass on it. That's one of his next targets, but he's looking dialed. But think about the big picture. He's trained his way to do that. So what I encourage you guys to do is really work with your coaches from the get-go and think, how am I going to maximize every repetition for every inch of that range of motion and get strong in that range? So that could be even on leg presses and externally stabilized exercises like machines and so on, but even like front squats, deadlifts, those types of things as well, because the stronger you get at those, the more output you're going to place on those externally stabilized machines as well, and really, really put those to work. So really try and drive that as much as possible. And again, this comes back into the periodization aspect as well, which we'll talk about muscle mass and strength in a second after we cover the fat loss stage. But the more output you can put on that bar and train those muscles to contract effectively, like it's a game changer. So this is why we really hone in on skill. And we've talked about the skill bucket of exercise and the output bucket of exercise, and make sure we're mastering those two as we go through fat loss phases, right? So hands up if you've ever finished a weight training session and you've been in a fat loss phase and you've gone, I'm starving. I'm hungry. Like I gotta eat. Okay. Kent, how many calories were you on at that point? I'll come to you in a second, Chaz.
I think it was it 2,100 and something?
Yeah, right. So imagine now that's 2-8.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's like Christmas Day. Do you know what I mean? It's,
Absolutely.
this ain't a problem. I'm still losing 0.7 to 1% body fat per week, and I'm still eating 2,800 calories. Like Steve's telling us like what he's doing in the day. And granted, he's doing his weight training sessions. He works very, very hard, but he's getting 15,000 steps a day. He's walking his dogs. He's on his treadmill. He's doing his cardio in his cardio days. And he's doing like 3,300 calories, man. I'm like, and he's getting shredded. He's just doing high energy flux. It's not unknown. This has been known for years. He's just gone, well, I can eat this amount of food if I do this. It's not that complicated when you look at it that way. But the struggle we have is what can we commit to on a daily basis? He just prioritizes that activity to allow him to do that. Right. And granted, I've known him to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get his session done because he's got three kids and a wife that works as well. And he just does what he just loves doing it as well. I think that's probably the one of the big things. He just actually loves training. You know, so you'll see in his post, like we call him the angriest man on Instagram because he's like, get it done, bitches, let's do this. He's one of those, but we give him some shit for on team calls. But like the man does the work, and it just shows that you can get exceptional amounts of fat loss using a high energy flux approach, but you have to push those training sessions, guys. Like you've got to lock those workouts in and just strap in and like, we're going to go to work today. Like I'm leaving nothing left, you know, safely, like not just mindlessly. Like we always coach on like your coaches do with you, be intentful for every set, own every rep, and Your body's going to take it where it needs to take it at that point. And when it gets tough, you smile and say, "Give me another set." You know? Chaz, what were you dieting on at that point?
What was that dieting on? About 1750.
Yeah. 1750, right? So they're low calories, right? So you think you can, like, don't get me wrong, you can get fat loss at that point. You will, for sure. But having that amount of protein in place, you have to have that in place at those calories. I've done those diets previously. Anything like I'll put this out there too. Anything I've asked my client to do, I've done. Like, I don't give somebody something because I read a research study on it. I'm like, I want to know if it works or not. How are you going to feel? What the expectations are, so I can tell you exactly how to overcome that problem. Like, any program I've given a client, I've done it. Any diet, I've done it. Apart from a vegan one. I know how that's going to go, and I wouldn't advise it to you anyway, so I'm never doing that one. Now, if you're vegan, that's fine. That's all down to you. That's okay. But I just don't do optimally on a vegan diet. Although I do have to be on a lower protein diet at the moment due to a gut protocol I'm on, but that's another story for another day. I'm still getting a good amount of protein. But you can get fat loss with those low calories. But if you can factor that activity in, now it may be a little bit higher than if you're getting the rest of the activity in than you were on, like, say, 1800 or 2100. But you only think one of the main things going to take that up is the ability to push those sets where you want to take them in the weight room as well. Because steps, for sure, if you're hitting 15,000, great. If you're taking those sets when you take them, another thing, and then you got cardio on top, you will lose fat fast. But what's the one thing I'd want to say to you as a coach? You have to be adherent to that diet at that point. Because the mindset then, this is the same with muscle building. The mindset I see is because I have more calories, shit tends to creep in. Right? I'm on a muscle building phase. Oh, I can eat a pizza every 3 days, and, like, because I'm bulking, bro, and it's like all these calories come in, and it's not as close as you think it is, and you're eating way more calories than you need to, and things then tend to get a little bit sloppy, right? So, being adherent to the plan, even if you're on higher calories, it'll just speed the process up even more. So it's being very, I wouldn't say regimented, but, like, honest with what you're doing, to allow the foundations of health and cellular function and metabolic flexibility to go where they need to go, reducing inflammation as much as possible. And fat loss is, like, it's easy. Make it as easy as possible. Because the main thing is going to be hunger when you're going on those low calories. Hunger is going to kick your ass, man. And I've been there before, where, and I've had clients before where you're going into the fridge and you're going, I don't want to eat this. I don't need to eat it. And then you're talking to yourself as you're chewing the food. And it's like, I don't want to eat this. And it's in your mouth, right? Like, it's going to happen. The signals will override. Now, it's hard. So being in that, if you can manage that high energy flux, is probably going to be a winner if you can talk through that with your coach, if you want to look at that type of stuff.
I'm about 1850 right now, but my concern, which you mentioned earlier, was that I'm afraid of gaining fat, so I don't want to eat the extra calories. And
Yeah.
so that's where I'm at. So I'm on a
So,
break.
yeah, man. What do you feel your biggest lever is, though, Chaz, to offset that? So let's say, for example, you're doing walking right now, right? So that would be daily NEAT, daily activity. So how many steps are you hitting right now in the days?
12,000 a day.
12,000? Perfect. Oh, mate, that's great. That's great. Right? Now, are you counting that inside your cardio as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, that's a separate workout altogether, but
Yeah.
otherwise I do 12,000 a day.
Yeah. So I would definitely. So this is where, when I've chatted to some people, they go, I'm doing 12,000. That's my cardio. I'm like, no. That's 12,000. Your cardio is in addition to that. So it will be 12,000. And then you might have, like, 40 minutes of cardio on top. Right. So now, shit, that's a lot. That's way more activity than people go, shit, well, if that's cardio and now I've got to do 40 minutes on top. Okay, great. Now we've got a higher energy flux than you did have. Now, if you're thinking, if I do 12,000 every day across the week, now I'm doing 2 to 3 40-minute sessions on top. That's one other lever we can pull in there straight away. Then we've got, well, how close can we really push you on weight training? Like, how is that going? How close to failure are you going on stabilized isolation sets first? I wouldn't be going pushing failure on like front squats, for example, right? If, especially if you're learning the skill. So it's looking at those little areas and going, well, what sets can we really push you? What type of setup are we doing with that type of split for you, you know? So do you feel weight training could be a lever for you to push as well?
Yeah, Steve is trying to help me with that. Yeah, he's trying. I'm exercising there. I feel like my range of motion is optimized, and he's happy. Then I'm pushing harder on those exercises, and
Good,
he's
man.
still you know, working with me to improve a greater range of motion.
Good. Good. So
So,
straight away, just accessing that range is going to give you the ability to do that as well. So
right.
that energy flux is going to be there. Now, if there's one proponent of high energy flux, Steve's probably going to be one of them. So he's probably got you on the right setup already. So now if you're pushing that muscle mass goal, he is going to obviously start to creep those calories up anyway. And it can be that mindset shift of, you know what, I'm going to have to eat more. But remember what I just showed you on the energy flux. If
Yeah.
you're already doing that activity and you want to grow, the energy substrates you have coming in are the building blocks for your muscle. Right? So think, I'm sure your protein's on point, man, so don't worry about that too much. But if you've got that protein there and you've done weight training, that's going to help build, potentially maintain the muscle, but you're going to have to get closer to that maintenance level to start growing. Because if you're doing this amount of activity and you're trying to build a house and you've got all of these bricks coming in, right? And you've got to build a bigger house, and they're only giving you like 5 bricks a day to build a house that needs 50,000 bricks. It's going to take you a long time to start building that house, you know?
Yeah,
It's getting you
I
closer
get
to
it.
that. So what you're going to probably see, and this is one thing that happens when people have dieted for a long time. Their energy, we talk energy flux here, but the calories go up, and all of a sudden they start moving more in a day without even realizing it. Without realizing, they'll automatically do more things around the house. They'll be moving around their hands more. Like, there's two people that come into mind here. I'll share a story with you. Number one is Greg. So Greg, before he joined Muscle Intelligence, used to work for me at my gym in the UK. And we did a photo shoot and he dieted like to within an inch of his life at one point, I think. And we were coaching on the gym floor and he was sat down coaching a client. I looked at him, I was like, what are you doing? Get up, like get up. And he's like, you could see the light switch click on. He's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like, he didn't even realize he'd sat down because he was so tired. I was like, get up. So he was up within a second. But it was one of those things where your body will just do what it needs to do to reserve itself. Like, it needs to save energy at that point. And then the other flip, when I was teaching in the States once, there was a guy I was teaching at his gym. And this guy he couldn't put muscle on. Like, he was one of those small, slender guys. And he's like, Gav, what do you think I should do? Like, am I eating enough calories? I'm like, just stop moving, man. Like, this guy would not stop moving. He's one of these OCD guys. He had to clean his gym every 5 minutes. I'm like, just employ a cleaner. That's step number one. Like, that's going to save you a ton of calories. You'll probably put on 5 kilos just employing a cleaner. Because he didn't stop cleaning his gym. I'm like, stop moving, you know? So it's one of those things of finding that sweet spot where you will start to put up calories, Chaz, and all of a sudden your energy and the performance in the gym is going to go up. Like, you're going to take those sets to where you need to take them, you know? Especially when you access that new range, your muscles are going to feel what it needs to do when it gets there as well. Any questions on the energy flux, guys? Vamshi, nice to see you, man. Any questions, guys? All good. Okie dokie. Let's move on. Yeah. So when we start that, so just finishing off on the high energy flux stuff, starting off with this activity first, create the headroom to get that 1% per week. And then once you start to find that, all you're doing then is slightly decreasing those calories from a higher point rather than starting from a low point and going lower, right? So that creates the deficit, and then you just maintain that 1%. Then once you've hit that 10% fat loss goal or whatever it's going to be, we just went through that one. With the high energy flux, if you're able to maintain more muscle mass doing this too, by the way, boys, you're probably not going to need any diet breaks. Like your mentality around the psychology of that and the diet fatigue you're going to get is just not going to happen. It's going to be way less. So that's going to shorten that dieting phase down as well. So there are proponents to this to use. But also, once you've done that, now you're going to have a maintenance phase, or you can look at phases where you're reverse dieting. So I do a couple of approaches. I do a reverse diet, or I just go straight back to maintenance for some people if we have certain targets to hit. But you want to sell at this maintenance phase for about 4 to 8 weeks. This is going to help reduce the diet fatigue. It's going to help just settle your body before you go into a surplus, so you're not just like trying to stuff in your face, especially if you've been dieting for a longer period. So maintenance phases are great for that, right? So getting one of those locked down, setting the time period into your periodization, then you can start to build up that, allow that energy to come up, allow performance to increase, and then bang, we can start working a surplus once the reps are there and your diet fatigue's dropped, your energy's come back up. Remember, those hormones are coming back in place after about 4 to 8 weeks. Boom, that comes back up. And all of a sudden, I use that as, you could call it like a health phase, for example, even though you've probably got healthier from a fat loss phase if you've reduced inflammation, increased metabolic flexibility, sorted your blood glucose out. You are healthy, but now you're rebalancing a lot of things from that maintenance phase as well. Reverse diet, same thing. All you're going to really do is increase those calories every couple of weeks from a couple of hundred calories every couple of weeks. So that should be done within 4 to 6 weeks for sure. But you typically used after longer deficits, I would probably say, just to gauge. Because if you've been in a deficit for a long time, you can calculate new maintenance off that. But what I found from experience, you can calculate your new maintenance, but depending on how long you've been there, I always cut back a good 10, 15% off that new one just in case of metabolic reserve. And then I slowly get there. I see where you balance and I go again. See where you balance and I'll go again. So I'd rather be more reserved at that point rather than just go straight into it. Because if you've been in the deficit a long time, your mind around food is like, give me food, man. Like, especially when you open the gates to that. So I like to control both of them in a couple of different ways. And then, so where the muscle building phase comes in. So again, going through these different periodized approaches, you're going to see macronutrients change, meal timing change a little bit. You're way more insulin sensitive through a muscle gaining when you get to this muscle gaining phase because you just dropped all that body fat. Your muscles are primed, they're glucose and insulin sensitive. Now we can start adding lean mass. A lot of you should be able to grow at maintenance just off that, especially if you're pushing sets heavy, lower reps, working on strength, and making sure you're recovered. You for sure will grow on maintenance. And then I like the surplus just slightly above. So what I'm looking at, no, I didn't put the numbers on there, but I'll just unshare. So with the muscle gaining phase, how many of you would like to bulk and cut, or would you like to lean gain? That's a question for you. Would you want to stay lean as you grow, or as lean as possible as you grow to a certain point? Or would you like to just eat, put on a lot of weight? Keith, yeah, lean gain, right? So put on a lot of weight, which is you're looking soft, you're looking fluffy pretty fast. All of a sudden, shit, like you're 10 weeks in, you go, I've got to diet again because I look like crap. Like typically, I. And especially when you see a lot of the coaches, even the bodybuilding coaches, like lean gaining, they're staying as healthy as they can, as lean as they can. There's a couple of reasons. You don't put on body fat as quick, especially if you stick to within certain ranges, which I'll share with you in a second. You won't put on as much body fat as quick, which means I can extend the period of gaining out way longer than going into another mini cut or an actual fat loss phase for some people that bulk pretty fast, and all of a sudden they got to lose fucking 10 pounds of weight again. Which essentially, if I can extend that gaining phase out, which you've seen in there, sometimes I like to go for 40 weeks. I've had some guys on for 40 weeks, and they probably put on a couple of percent of body fat over that time period, but they put on a significant amount of body weight, Right. So if you think 40 weeks of extended, or you do 12 weeks on, then you got to do like 8 weeks off of a diet. That's 4 weeks of gaining compared to 40. So that's like 10x, right? So I'd rather be gaining for 10x the time rather than like not, you know? So that's the difference with that progress. That's where the progressive overload stuff comes in. That's where you can really start to eat for a surplus. But that's where things change in terms of macronutrients too. So you look at protein intake, which we said for fat loss. How many of you remember the fat loss number for protein? Go, Keith.
2.2.
2.2. So here's another question. Can you grow more muscle eating more protein than 2.2 grams per kilo based off research?
Don't know.
No. It shows in research that if you eat more protein, you don't tend to see more muscle mass gained just from protein. But I'm a fan of going higher protein if there's no issues, up to sometimes 3 to 3.4 grams per kilo. And the logical thing in somebody's head goes, well, why would you give me that amount of protein if I'm not going to grow any more muscle? Which is a very good question. But my point is, if you're lean gaining, when you actually looked at studies with guys that were doing, I think it was 2 grams per kilo compared to the guys who were doing 3.4 grams. So it was high protein versus super high protein. The guys who are on super high protein stayed leaner for way longer. So when you're looking at body comp and lean gaining, I'm a big fan of getting as the carbohydrates where they need to go, warranted that you are pushing those sets where you need to take them and you're pushing performance. If the sets aren't there, then we keep the carbs where we need to keep them because the performance is where it is. And then once we can output, boom, we can start titrating those up. And once I've tapped that out, I could do an illogical approach, like if I'm increasing calories, could be carbs one time, it could be protein another time. I tend to keep fats a little bit lower, and then protein and carbs go up. Boom, 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 boom. So all of a sudden, you're staying leaner for longer. You're filling the muscle stores out. You're looking fuller, and you're staying tight as you go. Like, that's the dream. And if I can keep you doing that for 40 weeks and then diet you down, and you're doing like a 6 to 8 week mini cut, 6 to 8 weeks dieting at 40 weeks isn't too bad. So now that's 1 year of muscle gaining. That's a lot of body weight. So the sweet spot I found to keep you as lean as possible as long as possible is between 0.2 and 0.5% a week. So we have to be able to timeline that. And again, say, well, what can you commit to? Can you eat X amount of calories? Can you perform at this level day in, day out in the gym? You know, can you, because hitting your steps at that point is still going to be a key. So it's not that you're going to not do 10,000 steps a day. You'll still do those. You're still going to need some activity and blood flow and vascular networks needs to stay open. You'll notice that your cardiovascular work doesn't need to be high intensity interval training. It's more so probably going to be steady state work, right? Nice zone two, keep the vascular network open. It's not as taxing. You're saving all the energy reserve for the muscle building phases. And bang, you're just adding muscle mass where you need to put it. But when you do need a mini cut, when is the best time to do HIIT training? When you've got more calories. So when you start your fat loss phase, that's when we can start HIIT because you've got the energy reserves to do it. You've got lots more calories to do it. And all of a sudden, boom, you've got fat loss out the gate because you've got way more mass to push. And you've got the high energy flux. So now it's like easy. To see how it like starts to pieces of the puzzle start to click. But again, we always start foundations, build the skill, build the ability to output hard, get lean, get insulin sensitive, get your gut health in check. Gut health's in check, you can put on way more muscle mass faster because you can digest and absorb and assimilate. You know, so it's all these little cogs, and that's why you've got the coaches at your disposal to really push it. But yeah, boys, that's basically the gist of how I look at personally, and I know the boys do too, of nutritional periodization and how I think about high energy flux. Because even if you can't do it right now, like I know some of you might have to do the low calorie stuff, but over time, if you can start to maneuver your daily blueprint that we like to call it, what does your daily blueprint look like? If we can maneuver you to that higher activity amount, and now you're putting on muscle mass and your calories are going up and going up and going up, all of a sudden you put on body weight. And now when you do lose body fat, it's from the high energy flux state. So you'll be there eventually. So don't think this is, oh, it's never going to happen for me. It'll happen. It'll just be a process for you to get there. But know that we periodize that out over time. So we're sectioning how long it's going to take to lose fat. Do we need diet breaks? Do we need maintenance for a little bit? Boom. And this is where we're going to start our muscle building phase. I've literally just done it with one client. This guy, fortunately, he's been able, I've said, look, we're going to need you to do this amount of steps. And he sits at his desk all day. But I'm like, look, man, if you want to do this as quick as possible, we're going to need 12,000 steps a day, 10,000, 12,000. If you do more, great. If not, just make sure you hit these. But he was doing three weight training sessions a week, three cardiovascular sessions a week, hit his calories. We averaged around the 2001 calorie amount, but his body weight was at the lower end. So he was only came in at 180 at about 20% body fat. And in 9 weeks, he's down to 165 at about 9. So he's like, bang, straight, like done. 9 weeks done. Now he's like, I'm like, you don't lose any more weight, no more. Like, let's get your calories up now. But he's lean enough, like he's gonna stack on weight pretty fast. So it's just controlling that amount for him. So being able to be in that point is pretty, if you can get that high energy up, that high activity up, it's gonna be way easier. Does that make sense? Any questions, boys? So that was a bit of a quick dive into high energy flux and fat loss periodization and nutrition periodization more so, but I know we didn't talk training too much. All good, yeah. Cool. So Jeff, how's things going for you, man?
Going well.
Yeah. What are you training at the moment? What's your setup looking like?
Doing a bit of fat loss right now while also trying to build some strength. It's been, I just started 4 weeks ago. But making steady progress, and looking forward to putting on muscle.
Good man, good work. So the other Jeff as well. Let me see it from you too. I can see your camera on as well.
Yeah, no, going well. We're in more of a building phase, so just trying to kind of work things up for right now and get as much as I can out of that. But it seems to be going pretty well.
Good man. How many days a week are you hitting the gym at the minute?
Right now it's 5 a week, which is good. Still very manageable time-wise, but basically, four lifting sessions and then one kind of longer, like cardio type session for right now. And really, we've been doing kind of 4 to 5, mostly lifting and then some conditioning worked in there. So,
Who are you working with right now?
Chris.
Oh, Chris, he's a legend, man. Like, if there's one guy I want to do, like, to be fair, all the boys, like, but Chris is great as well, man. He's phenomenal with weight training. He's one of the best. You're in good hands, man.
Yeah, no, he's been very good and really helpful for like noticing little things when I send him videos and picking up on that stuff and saying, well,
Boys,
try
honestly.
this. But it's
Yeah, like honestly, boys, we I know we hope we sometimes we hammer you for videos. That's exactly why. Like, especially because Chris, so if, I don't know if any of you have had a message from Josie at any point. Josie might have reached out to you at certain points through your journey with us. So she's a client of mine. So she's come on board. She's very organizational. So she helps us on the back end organize our stuff because us guys, as you know, when it comes to some of us tech guys, we're not organized with tech. We just like to get in and lift weights. She's amazing at that. But she's been a client of mine for years, and I've handed the powerlifting program into Chris, and I coach it 4 times a week at my house in my gym. And we send him videos. He's like, do this, do this, do this, do this. His experience on that is insane. Absolutely insane. He's a phenomenal coach. But yeah, she's 72, and I think she's just had 4 golds at the Commonwealth Games. And I think she might be going to the Worlds hopefully soon. She's very good. She's very good. Bless her. She's good. Kent, give us an update, man.
Yeah, going well. Also through this cutting stage at the moment, which just it's tough. It really is just tough. I just feel like I've got no energy. But working through it is as best I can. Also 5 day the gym with
Yep.
cardio as well on top of it, and then trying to hit like 9,000 steps a day, which is pretty much my average.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, getting there slowly.
Good man. Who are you working with right now?
I'm actually not working with anybody on the team at the moment. So I've got the app that I've gone and registered with. So
Oh,
busy
perfect.
working through that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I should be jumping on with coaching the next couple of months, I reckon.
Mate, sometimes having a deeper dive into looking at the little nuances and so on, and like some of the guys here will probably attest that we'll pick things out and just go do this, and all of a sudden it's like bang, like something will change pretty fast. Like we'll be able to see things that you won't, even though the like here, Rich has got his thumb up in the corner. Some of the programs in that group is fantastic. Like I've written a lot of the programs in there as well, just to make sure that. Like this is working there, that's working there. We got muscle building, we got fat loss. It's a great setup. It's a phenomenal setup. But you're doing all the right things, man. Like you're doing all the right things. It might just be a few things from a coaching standpoint that's just does it. But the one.
I think as well, probably like Jeff was saying, is having forming myself. I'm pretty sure, you know, there's got to be some kind of movement I'm not doing right, or I'm not going deep enough, or going too fast. You know, there'll be something that you know it's need a coach to kind of check my technique and check my form and all those kind of things to say, hey, like you say, hey, do this, change this. No, no, no. Why are you doing that? Do this. So, I think that'll be a big thing as well.
For sure. And depending on what type of coaching you would like to take up on, but we are looking at a lot of genetics at the moment too. And I spoke about genetics on a call, I think it's one of my other last calls, but it's quite a few weeks back. Spoke about genetics around fat loss, you know, and some people like they just need a few little tweaks here and there, just a few adjustments. And it's just like their body clicks into place. It's just like that. Everything just lines up because you've genetically, you've allowed things to function on a different level. It's can be a game changer for a lot of people. Do you have
Well,
the
that's the plan is yeah to actually go and get all my bloods done and all that, get that kind of program and do that, just go the whole bang shoe and just do it properly.
I'll just give a little insight into myself at the moment. Like I had zero symptoms of anything. Good, energy was fine, or I thought my energy was fine. And I just like to make sure, like I run tests, my bloods every 6 months, blood work was pretty good. But on this last one, my triglycerides were a little bit high and my diet was good and so on. I just lost a lot of body fat. And I was like, let's just run a stool sample. I found my, inf it was inf very hijacked inflammation in my gut and I've got a leaky gut. And so like, Greg, boom, do this. So I've been doing the protocol for, I'd say just coming to the end of my second week. And within 2 weeks, I was doing a couple of coffees a morning. I'm like one coffee done. Like that's, I'm for the rest of the day, I'm like, I'm on fire. I'm like, I'm on it. Like, energy is through the roof. And I'm only in the second week and it was going for like 6 or 8 weeks. The other thing I've noticed, I was saying to Ben when I was in Tampa a couple of weeks ago. I was like, can you get me some BPC? My elbow's been killing me since Costa Rica. I thought I'd done something to the my elbow. Must have been training related. It just creeped up out of nowhere. And we were in Tampa and Ben had a lot of kit being delivered to the gym. So we're helping this kit off this wagon and it's like it's heavy kit. And my bicep was on just dead for days. Today was the first time I've trained my biceps without pain. And the only thing I've done is a gut protocol. I haven't even trained it bef since Costa Rica, probably. Because I just couldn't maneuver it. Like, even just bending my elbow, like just like this, trying to tense my bicep, the tendon would be on. Like, I just so painful. Like, somebody was stabbing something in into my tendon. 2 weeks into the protocol, it's gone.
I mean, funny enough, you're saying all of that. When did Ben? It's probably about 2 months ago, I reckon. There was a call with Ben was doing the call, and ever since, it's been before Christmas, I would say mid-December. My right elbow, same thing. Now I thought, I tweaked it or whatever. And anyway, doing all my research, points out to be tennis elbow. Go to the physio, dry needling, all the whole trip. And I've only been able. It was so bad that I couldn't even pick up a cup of coffee with like hand as a claw kind of thing, I couldn't do anything. And trying all these different the physio saying, oh, do all these different movements and stretch like this and do that. And I've battled. And same as you, I can still feel it, but I've been able to work my arms and actually do pull-ups and all any kind of push-pull movements only really properly over the last 2 weeks, I would say. And going back to what you're saying with the gut health, that's also, I can't tell you how many coffees I have to have a day, and have a Monster energy drink and all this kind of stuff, and I'm still finished. I just really am dead most of all the afternoon. There's a couple of days I've actually finished work at 5 o'clock. Go have a, an hour or two sleep, and then carry on again.
I'd encourage you to look at it, man. Like, if you can get in and make it happen, we can take care of the bloods. We can take care of the obviously the digestion stuff. If you want to look at that, genetics as well. That's going to be coming for sure very, very soon. It just allows you to take the whole guesswork away. Like, you'll be able to see the big picture, and then it's like, do this, eat this. These are the exact supplements you've got to take. So obviously, I've run my genetics in the past and years ago, and so I have my exact SNP variants and so on. So Greg looked at that. I don't clear inflammation well genetically. So that's a game changer now when you're looking at that from my digestion too. Oxidative stress, don't manage that well. Detoxification, don't manage that well. So I'm like, I'm screwed from those points. So my supplementation has to go up on certain things. And again, since the last 2 weeks, it's like, it's just been a game changer. Energy, pain in the elbow's gone. Like, it's nuts. But it's very fine-tuned for me. It's very individual. Like, if I gave that protocol to you, it might screw you up, So it's you have to be very bespoke of what you're doing,
Very cool. Thank you.
So I hope that gives you a little bit of insight into what I'm doing as well. So I think I posted in the group in the community of what I was doing too. So I'll keep you posted over the next days and weeks and show you what's going on there. I'll let you know how my biceps going. See if I can get another inch of this sucker in the next couple of months, hopefully. Feels like it's withering away, bless him. But I'll get on it. I'll keep you posted. And boys, I just want to thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you hopping on the call, spending time with me, talking about energy flux and bloody fat loss. And it's always a pleasure. And if you need anything, get in the group, post questions, let us know what you need. And obviously, touch base with your coaches and send those videos through, okay?
Great
Thanks, man.
stuff.
You
Thanks,
have a
Kevin.
great day wherever you are, man. Bye.
Cheers, everyone.